Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 107 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm about to sneeze. Breathe out. That helps me stop sneezing sometimes. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the oh-so-grounded soupy soup. I am the oh-so-grounded, super-groovy Earth Mama, about to sneeze, creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic, and Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadebow.com or back on the description page for this episode, Black and Blog Talk Radio. Oh my God, talk about being grounded. That is so funny. The whole beginning of this show was super ungrounded and me dripping over my tongue. It really started because I am eating some wonderful roasted seaweed snacks, nori chips, and I was trying to get them all in my face before the show started. Oh, they're so salty. Salty deliciousness. I love it. But the show started, and I was, like, in the middle of chewing and trying to itch my nose because I have allergies and the sneeze was going to happen. And then I started laughing because I realized every time I eat these chips, I cannot go out in public until I look in a mirror because almost in between every single tooth will be, like, seaweed. So I probably look like that right now. So thank God you can't see me. And thank God I can still taste the salt on my lips. Oh, my God, those things are so good. And salt, that's totally fitting for today's show. See, I had a point. I'm talking about the magic today. And this is the element, metaphorically speaking, that represents matter. Your material life, including your earthly relationships with family and close personal friendships, which I think sometimes gets overlooked when we contemplate the earth element, your money, which a lot of people think of right away when they think of the earth element, your ability to survive in a very real sense, the root chakra, nourishment, seaweed, chips, house and home, food and sustenance, feeling present and comfortable in your own body, feeling that you have the right to be here. And if you're someone who doesn't feel you have the right to be here, I hope something that I say in today's show clicks with you and that you turn that around right away. Of course you have the right to be here. You have the right to be here because you are here. So hopefully you can find a way to ground yourself into the reality of what is. And I'm loving the synchronicities are so huge this year. I mean, I'm always into synchronicity. I just think that's a fascinating phenomenon. I always get a big kick out of it when, you know, little synchronicities happen in my own life. I think, ooh, magic, or I think I'm hovering right over a message I'm supposed to receive, or that I'm on the right path, perhaps. But this morning, I've been working with Daniel Laporte's Desire Map Day Planner. Love this thing. Love it, love it, love it. Highly recommend it, even though it starts on January 1st. So this is the 2015. Get yourself one mid-year or maybe plan on getting one next year. It's so awesome. This is partly why I've gotten so into astrology this year, because when any major, like, astrological occurrence occurs, it'll be written on that day of the day planner. And so this morning it said Mars enters Taurus. Is that what it said? Let's open it up and see. Mars enters Taurus, yes. And I thought that was so fitting for what I wanted to talk about today. And then part of my morning devotional, I always pick a tarot card for the day, and I pick the King of Pentacles. I was like, ah, Mars and Taurus, King of Pentacles, the Earth element. Oh my God, it's all coming together. I love synchronicities like that. So, what I did for the umpteenth time is I busted out my complete guide to Tarot Illuminati by Kim Huggins, that I'm sure you know I'm obsessed with by now. And, because I wanted to read to you something that she said about the King of Pentacles, which she subtitled The Master of the World. What she has to say about each card is so completely fascinating. Even if you don't have the Tarot Illuminati deck, I think this book will be so valuable to anybody who's interested in the tarot and how it ties in with alchemy and astrology and a jillion other fascinating magical things. But this one little passage about the master of the world, King of Pentacles, I think she may even mention Taurus in here somewhere, which I thought was pretty cool. She says, wealth can become security, status, generosity, charity, stability, and comfort. I, and she's speaking as the King of Pentacles, I should have clarified, I enjoy all the finest things in life because they represent what we all want. I am therefore the richest man in the world, not just because of my wealth, but because of the joys I find in my community, my family, my loyal friends, my security, my comfortable home, and my well-nourished body. And I just wanted to read that because I think it just reiterates what I was saying at the top of the show about what the earth element represents. And when I said the magic of earth, that's what I meant. I meant it metaphorically, what it represents when it comes to magic. The earth element, one of the four elements. This is the final show that I'm doing on this theme. I did the magic of air, the magic of water, the magic of fire, and the magic of earth. I hope you listen to all four because they're meant to go together. In particular, how they work with my own version of the Witch's Pyramid. And even if you don't want to go by that version of the Witch's Pyramid, it's just interesting, I think, to think about how the elements might work together alchemically or in terms of conscious creation, manifestation, all that good stuff. But before I get into all of that, I just want to make the simple statement that being grounded matters. Being grounded keeps you sane and calm. And if you're really grounded, you won't start your Blog Talk Radio show stuffing nori chips into your face and hanging on to a sneeze and tripping over your tongue. That is the epitome of being ungrounded. But being grounded keeps you sane and calm and, as I said, present to what is. You probably hear me talk about what is a lot because I'm interested in what is, grounding into what is, being present to what is, surrendering to what is, and then making the most of it. And what is what is? It's fucking amazing. That's what it is. What is different for all of us depending on where and how we live. But what is from where I'm sitting right now is hummingbirds whizzing around the bottle brush tree outside my kid's window, cats eating the grass and puking it back up on my living room floor, being a mother to one truly kick-ass young dude, a cup of red clover infusion steaming next to me in my beloved Third Man Records mug, and rays of sunshine streaming through a very dirty window. I need to wash that window. But that's the reality right now of my own life. So what is the reality of your life, the physical 3D reality of your life, the material plane. Philip K. Dick has a quote that I like that I wanted to share with you guys today. He says, reality is that which, when you stop believing in it, doesn't go away. And I think you could take that really, really far, you know, to support perhaps like an atheist point of view or to say that magic isn't real. And certainly I don't mean it in that sense. But I am interested in grounding into reality and working from that perspective. Uh, I did a, I really late last night. I was up and I was thinking about how every other Monday I intended this year to track the progress that I'm having on, you know, writing my novel, trying to get it published. Because I just thought for my own self, it'd be cool to hold myself accountable that way. I'm an oversharer, so I thought it'd be fun to share that way. But I also wanted to extract like the little lessons and things like that that I learned along the way, because I think we can all learn from each other. And that's something that I have a lot of issues around, fear and things like that. So I thought, well, there's some teachable moments there. I'm just going to share this journey. But I actually didn't do that in March, less in at all. I didn't. There should have been two blog posts for that series called Major Arcana, A Fool's Journey. But instead, last night, I was like, hey, I didn't do a blog post today. I'm grooving on Etsy. I'm going to put another wish list together. So I put a wish list together called 13 Kick-Ass Etsy Finds to Help Ground into the Beauty of Spring, kind of thinking about what I wanted to talk about, like grounding into what is and what is right now for half of the world anyway, is spring. But I also thought it was funny that, you know, at the top of the month, I was frustrated because I couldn't find the time to work on my novel and do all the things that I do for Kick-Ass Witch. And I had this thought like, okay, clearly I've got the time to write about not writing. So what if I stopped writing about not writing and just started writing? This is a novel idea. Pun intended. A novel idea about writing my novel. Har, har, har. So to me, that had a very grounding sensation to it. I was able to like, ooh, let go of like the craziness of, you know, too much air element and ground into like bringing this novel into the physical reality. Anywho, I digress. Being grounded is important and clearly something that I have to do consciously. And that's one of the many things that the earth element represents to me. And because I was such a head case when I was younger, much more so than now, I was really stuck up in my head all the time. And I like to visualize that as I was just like this giant balloon person. Like my head was a giant balloon, and then the rest of my body was like almost inconsequential. It was just like the string hanging from the balloon, and it wasn't even grounded. I was just a big floating balloon head. I was very disconnected from my body, which made me very accident prone. I used to have a theater teacher that would yell at me, "Be aware of your body in space," because I really wasn't. I wasn't grounded. And it made me checked out from reality, which also, despite no ill intentions on my part, got me into a lot of trouble when it came to, oh, I don't know, basic things like paying my bills. I was one of those people who was like, I don't care about money. And it was like, you don't care about money, fine. The electricity is going to get shut off. So it was really profound for me learning how to come back down to earth. It was a very peaceful sensation. I was surprised, the sense of peace that I felt coming back down to earth. And kind of touching on the astrology thing, I have Capricorn ascendant. So maybe from what I understand about your ascendant sign, it's what you need to grow into. It's where you're going. It's what you're moving towards. So maybe I just finally grew into my inner Capricorn. But thinking about how grounding gave me a sense of peace, it also reminds me of that. I think it's around Christmas time that people say peace on earth, but it really brings that into focus for me. Oh, yeah, peace on earth, man. It's super groovy. And the first time someone called me down to earth, I just about fell out of my chair because I had never seen myself as being someone down to earth. Other people had never seen me as being down to earth. I was quite known for being very like flighty and flaky and blah, like all over the place. So I was like, wow, there's something I've never been accused of before. And what was even more amazing than that was that shortly thereafter, my own mother referred to me as being earthy. And I was just like, wow, the changes that I've been making within are really being reflected externally, and people are starting to respond to that. As within, so without. It was a pretty amazing experience for me, and that was quite a few years ago. I'm feeling the longer you feel grounded and down to earth, the more down to earth and grounded you feel. And that gives you a foundation to do your spiritual work from and to have all of your great ideas, but to be able to actually process them in a way that serves other people and yourself, in a way that they can be delivered, in a way that can be received. And when I think about peace on earth too, and I think about being grounded and the material plane, it's interesting to me. I think, you know, the religion that I was grew up in, and a lot of us grew up in, it kind of teaches that things of the earth are bad. This material plane is not good. It's not good to be materialistic. We had the phrase that is of the earth, earthly things. And that was not a compliment. That was not to mean those things were good. You know, you would be rewarded with what is good if you could behave like a proper Christian and deny yourself the pleasures of the earthly pleasures of this manifest realm. Then you'd be rewarded later on in heaven, which I think is why pantheism speaks to me so strongly, because in pantheism, heaven and earth are one. Heaven is right here, right now. Spirit is all around you, and there is nothing to transcend. You are here. You've already made it. Look around and see for yourself. Be present to what is and rejoice, damn it. I think some people, you know, they have to go on these, like, wild magic mushroom trips and things like that, which has become very popular in the media that I pay attention to. But I think it's because it shows you what is. And you're like, oh, you know, some people interpret that as, you know, interstellar beings from such and such galactic whatever, far, far, far away. They're communicating to them. But I have a whole other take on that. Briefly, I'll just say perhaps they're interacting with spirits that are right here on Earth right now that we're normally not open to seeing. Just a little random tangent there about psychedelics and this trend that seems to be running through the New Age community. From a magical perspective, going back to the topic of today's show, the magic of Earth, when you think about it from the point of co-creation and consciously manifesting your intention into the world, be it through a spell, through doing, you know, magical spell work, through prayer, through using the law of attraction and setting an intention, however you want to think about it, I'm going to pick up on this thread that's been weaving through all four of these shows I did in March on the four elements, air, water, fire, and now earth, and how they relate to each other and individually on the witch's pyramid. And I will just reiterate for those of you who this is the first show you are tuning into, this is, like I just said, an ongoing series. This is the fourth in four parts, so this is the end here. But imagine the witch's pyramid as a star, which is very simple. And then you can imagine that star in a circle, or just, you know, connect the dots line to line to line to where it's a funky-looking pyramid, kind of a wonky-looking pyramid, more almost like a house shape. And that is the witch's pyramid. And at the tippy-tippy top, at that upper point, you have spirit. Each of the points represents a different element. So at the top is the element of spirit. And then the four elements, the four points that are kind of like the arms and legs of the star, those represent the four basic elements that most people work with when living in a magical paradigm. So from my perspective, you can actually start from any point on the star if you want to co-create, thinking of you're co-creating with the divine, if you want to co-create your reality, if you want to do a spell, if you want to set an intention to bring something into manifestation, using the witch's pyramid as a kind of template for that, you literally can start from any point on the star and then work from there. But I like to think about it in this one linear way that makes the most sense to me, and that would be starting with air, which is your intention, setting an intention to know, moving on to water, emotions, that's feeling your way into the intention, bringing it a little bit closer into manifestation by applying the sense of feeling, that is to dare, fire, to will, the fire of applying your will, taking action, and then moving into what we're talking about today, to be silent, manifestation. But even though that's the way I'm presenting the Witch's Pyramid, I do want to reiterate that you can start from any point. And I will mention quickly right now what it might be like to start with the earth element rather than the air element, for example, and what it might be like to set your intentions from there. So if you follow me on Facebook, you might have seen a little diagram that I posted out of one of my journals. And it's basically sort of like a house, a really basic stripped-down kindergarten drawing of a house, you know, the square with the little triangle on top, and the triangle is the roof. But if you raise the roof just a little bit, the triangle becomes a hat sitting on a person's head. And then there's like a heart inside the square of the house's body and a third eye, whatever. It's a trippy drawing. But basically, it represents to me the earth element and the magic of as below, as above, so below, as within, so without, and starting with the earth element in the co-creation process. So that would be, what would that be? That would be like doing space clearing and feng shui or caring, you know, for your body. Your body is a home, right? Your body is a version of your home. The house you live in is a version of a home. Caring for those in a certain way with intention, in an extra mindful way that is in alignment with what it is you want to bring into your reality. So take love, for example. Let's say that you want to find the love of a lifetime, the love that is fulfilling. Maybe you'd call that person a soulmate, but you want to be loved, you want to give love, you know, in a way that feels really good. So if you would start at the earth element to create that experience for yourself, you would treat your home and your physical body how you would want your future lover to treat them. And beyond that, how you want them to care for, you know, your precious soul, your tender heart, your most vulnerable dreams, in treating your home a certain way, in treating your physical body a certain way, keeping it clean, keeping it organized, adorning it in a way that makes you feel good, lavishing it with love and praise, and treating it the way you would like someone else to treat it. You're actually creating that like attracts like momentum, and attracting that experience into your reality, especially if it's done with magical intent. Another, you know, you could think of this in terms of money. I think like love and money are the two things that people perform magic for the most often. And a really simple thing that I learned way back in the dinosaur days of when I very first started listening to Susie Orman, she had a way of doing this with money, and that was to respect money so that it would be attracted to you. And she basically just outlined a very simple thing that I still do to this day, and I always think of her and this whole intentional process when I do, and that is keeping the dollars in your wallet, not all wrinkled up and wadded up, all facing the same direction, you know. This is hard to do without having a visual because I'm such a talker with my hands. I'm sitting here like lining up imaginary money in my wallet with my hands. It's about treating your money with respect in your actual physical wallet so you keep them lined up like smallest bills to largest bills. So the ones are lined up, and then after that you have the fives, and then you have the tens, and then you have the 20s, and if you're lucky, you have the 100s. And they're all, you know, tidy, in a line, facing in the same direction. And that's just an energetic sign of respect and love for your money so that more money comes in. So that's one way to work with the earth element as a point of attraction. Another way to consider how the magic of earth comes into play with the witch's pyramid, it's the way that I typically think of it in that trajectory that I just outlined, and that is as the final phase in the creation process. And although there really is no final phase in the pyramid, just as there is no final phase in life, as every death leads to rebirth, and the final point on the star of the pyramid, the point that represents earth, it leads right back up to the upper tip, to the point that represents spirit, where everything truly begins and ends and begins again. These are just metaphors. So let me reiterate. Air, water, fire, earth. To be silent. And this is where my pyramid deviates a bit from most. Silver Ravenwolf's take on the Witch's Pyramid, for example, which I was very inspired by, it has the same flow from element to element, air to water to fire to earth, but her take on what it means to be silent differs from mine. Her take is more of like, don't share what you're doing, lest, you know, don't throw pearls before swine, lest someone else interferes with your magic by putting funky ideas in your head. It's more about like, an oath of silence, to be silent. I do think there's value in that, but the way I look at it is more about allowing, receiving, and manifesting. It's about to be silent from a meditative point of view, giving space for what you want to manifest, being silent, you know, so as praying or setting an intention is talking to God, so to speak, meditation, to be silent, is listening to God and allowing. There's an acronym that I like to use, ARM. I like to think about outstretched arms, open to receive a hug, open to receive true love, open to receive a, you know, windfall of money. And that is ARM, allow, receive, manifest. And that is what to be silent means to you. It's when you reach the point on the pyramid where no further action or thought is required. You don't want to keep harping on your intention. You don't want to keep, you know, confusing things or sending your energy out in too many different directions by overanalyzing it or having too many ideas about how it could manifest and, you know, trying to control. You know, if you get stuck in the air element, if you get stuck on the point of the pyramid that is to know, that's, you know, what that might look like, trying to control things mentally, overanalyzing, harping on it, you know, like thinking about it so much that it never, there's never a focus to it. It never has a chance to manifest. If you get, you know, overly attached to the idea emotionally, you might get stuck in the water element, to dare. If you're trying too hard and exerting too much effort and too much will, you're stuck in the fire element, and that can be exhausting. And then you never have the chance to move down into the earth element, to be silent, to move into the perfect love and perfect trust of allowing and receiving and manifestation. There's so much more I wanted to say about this. I'm sorry that I got a little off track with tangents and tripping over my tongue this morning. I have a couple of guests coming on the show next week, Dawn Champagne of the Goddess Diaries and Brigitte Mars, master herbalist, raw food chef, and author. So April's going to be super fun. And then I'll be talking more about the earth element in this Thursday's video. So stay tuned for that. And see if you can ground into what is. If you're doing the spring equinox module, please don't skip the rewilding portion. I really wanted to demonstrate to you, or I wanted you to demonstrate to yourself, the profound magic of working with the four elements in a tangible, hands-on way. So I hope you're doing that. I hope you are engaging in those rewilding challenges that I outlined in that module. I will be back here next Tuesday talking at you. Until we meet again, much love. Peace.